Greetings. We are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Empowerment, encouragement, and I'm going to challenge your thinking on today. I'm going to challenge you to assess yourself. If you know anything about me, I want to always challenge anyone that I come in contact with, not in a bad way, not because I just want to irritate you, but I want to challenge you in the things of God to become stronger, more sound, to become more of a soldier, to endure hardships even in a better way. I want you to be tough, not just tough to be tough, but I want you to be tough in warfare because this is a war. And I don't say that because it's just something that is cool to say, but this is a real spiritual war that we are in. And it's going to take faith in order to withstand the woes of the enemy. And I want to teach you today, or remind you or empower you, however you want to receive it, just on how to stay pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So the Bible does say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I want everyone, they say, you know, when we pray for people, we ask, well, what do you want prayer for? And a lot of them say, just to do the Lord's will, just to be pleasing his sight. I just want to be pleasing in his sight. And it's very easy to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. All it takes is 100% of your faith. 100% of your faith. It's so easy.
Amen.
But it's one of those things that are easier said than done. Because when the Lord actually does present different trials or tribulations that will challenge your faith, then you got to now stop relying on lip service and now activate the verb of faith in your life. So I want to just go ahead and to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people, that you have allowed me to be over, to encourage, to teach, to preach, to empower. I thank you, Lord, for the sheep that are here and that their ears and their hearts will be open unto this word. And I pray, God, that it will penetrate every stony heart. I pray, God, that it will allow the walls that are surrounded on their mind to penetrate through even that, that they will have a renewing of their spirit, that they will have a right spirit on today, that you will create in them, God, a new thing. I pray, God, that every tradition and religion and any ideology that has been, I guess, conjured up by their own thinking, we cast it down. And we pray, God, for your supernatural revelation to penetrate and to become now something that they live and stand on. Let that be the foundation and the pillar in which they walk on. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I thank God for today. I want to just talk about faith on today. I want to talk about a few things. I want to encourage some people on here. You may say, well, I've heard about faith. I know about faith and all of this. But you know what? Bear with me. Give me grace on today because this can serve as a reiteration or maybe another revelation. Or maybe this would challenge you to not just know about it, but to be about it, to assess yourself and to make sure that you are operating in the faith that our Heavenly Father has created it to operate in your life as. So I want to be, as we know, this is our favorite scripture for most of us. We can come from Hebrews, the chapter 11 of today, Hebrews chapter 11. And we know this scripture, some of us can even quote it by hand or by memory.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to do just verse 1, just one simple verse today. Hebrews 11, verse 1, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know faith, basically, to put it in layman's terms, faith is to believe or hope for something that you don't see the manifestation of. My old pastor used to say, faith doesn't make sense, and sense does not make faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith doesn't make sense, and sense does not make faith. And I want to talk to you about today on faith, believing God for what seems impossible, believing God for what seems like an impossible situation, believing God when there seems to be no way. It's almost like you're coming to the end of a road. There's no twist, no turn. It's just the end of the road, but you're having faith that God, even though there is no natural way for you to exit that road, God can create a way, create a road, create a door, create a turn that would allow you to escape whatever the circumstance or trial that you're in. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
I'm here, too. I'm here.
And I want to talk about some of the things that hinder our faith and then also some of the stages that our faith can go through. So as we know about faith, it is our wholehearted belief in the Lord that faith is important, because when faith is important in your walk in God, when you exert your faith, it means that you place all of your trust in Him. That means that you're not relying on your own ideologies, your own strength, your own understanding, but you're believing that God is either using some of the skills and talents that He's placed through in you to fulfill the task, or He's going to bring people in your life. Because one thing about faith, it generates through our Heavenly Father. And because you have faith in our Heavenly Father, He will then orchestrate however He decides in His perfect will for it to come to pass, whether it is through angelic or supernatural manifestation, which is how some of these blessings or trials are ended, by supernatural money being transferred in their bank accounts, by supernatural healing immediately, or He'll bring people in your life, a network of people who have the authority to make things happen, like give you a home or give you a car or give you a position or a career opportunity. He will operate how He wants it to come to pass, but we have to understand that it took our faith to activate even how the Lord is going to move or come to your rescue in this trial or tribulation. So you got to realize that it isn't necessarily about what you do or what you say, but it's about, in all of that, the motive being, God, work it out. God, I'm trusting you for it all. I don't know if you're going to use man. I don't know if you're going to supernaturally provide. I don't know if you're going to bring an angel to go ahead and lay it at my feet. I don't know how you're going to bring it to pass. But, Lord, I'm hoping for it to happen. I'm praising you for it. I'm believing in the substance of things hoped for, even though the evidence of that thing is not seen. I'm believing you to work it out. And then, people of God, once we tell God, you work it out, once we're supposed to give it over to the Lord, we are not supposed to sit back and figure it out. And that was one of my biggest things in this walk and learning about how to trust God completely. I would tell Him, God, I give it to you. I don't care how you work it out. I'm giving it all to you. But then after I finished praying and crying and all that stuff, I would sit back and say, now, how are you going to do it? Then I would start thinking about the people that I know and start saying, well, maybe He's going to use this person because this person has what I need. This person has the authority to open up the door for that opportunity. Or I would begin to start saying, maybe God's going to do it this way. I would sit back and try and figure out God. And don't you know, people of God, that would drive you crazy. That would almost go into depression, because you get your hopes up so big that you just know God is going to work this way, in this way, in this lane, in this avenue. But when God turns around and doesn't do it the way that you are planning for Him to do it, then you almost want to say, God, did you even hear my prayer? Don't you know I need your help? Why couldn't you use John? Why couldn't you use Sarah? How come you couldn't let this lady who's a millionaire, you couldn't touch her heart to give me what I needed? But you almost want to curse God because He didn't do it the way you wanted to do. Or He didn't move when you wanted Him to move. But faith, people of God, is a lot bigger than that. It goes beyond our time frame, because we serve a God that isn't limited by time. We serve a God that says to Him, one day is 1,000 years, and a thousand years is unto a day with the Lord. We serve a God that says that our way, His ways, and His thoughts are high above our thoughts and our ways. So we can't put God in a box. We can't tell Him that that's the perfect time for it to be manifested or to be worked out. We have to also understand that He has perfect timing in all things. What did Apostle say earlier? He said, as the cliche goes, he's always on time.
Amen.
He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. So with that being said, what causes us to trip up? When we ask God, whether you're believing for a spouse, whether you're believing for healing, whether you're believing for a supernatural debt cancellation, whether you're believing him for salvation of your loved ones, your spouse, your children, whether you're believing him for a home or a car, whether you're believing him for any of your necessities, even a desire, a vacation, or whatever it is. Some people want more hair for their hair to grow thicker and longer. Whatever it is that you're in faith or in need of, or for your faith to be activated, whatever, no matter how small, no matter how big, it could be everything. It doesn't have to be just one thing. Because let me tell you, people of God, I'm just dealing with your desires, with your trials on today. But truth be told, faith is a lifestyle. You cannot say that you are a Christian or a believer in Jesus Christ and you choose to operate in faith only when you need something. For it is in faith that you believe in Jesus Christ. It is in faith that you even believe that there is a Holy Spirit or that our Heavenly Father created the earth and the heavens. It is by faith that you are believing these things. Hebrews 11, even the third verse, it talks about faith. It says that through faith we understand that the world, if you know anything about, I guess, astrology and the cosmos and the planets, because I love watching documentaries about our universe and our atmosphere, but our galaxies, if any of us have ever seen videos and the new discoveries, there's billions and billions of galaxies that are just beyond where we live. There are planets that makes there are planets out there that make the planet Earth look like a speck of dust. They are humongous. They swallow up the sun and the earth. There are planets out there that shine brighter than the sun. God created all of these things. I was watching a documentary on black holes and supernovas, and I'm just like, God, you are awesome. Amen. So that's why the word of God is so accurate when it says, through faith we understand that the worlds, there's plural, there's an S, the worlds, were framed by the word of God. All God had to do, all our Heavenly Father had to do was speak it. Once he spoke it, once he framed and spoke it, the worlds were created. Yes. So that the things that are seen, it tells us right here by faith, we understand that the things that are seen, we can see the earth through the technology and the scientific telescope. We can see these galaxies and proof and the glitter and the shine of these stars that are just been born or just exploded. We can see the evidence, the sun, the moon, the grass. We can see these things that God spoke into existence. But check this out. He said, through faith we understand that the things that are seen were not, I'm repeating it again, were not made of the things which do appear. Mm-hmm. In other words, God is saying that it was with the invisible that he created the visible. What was the invisible? We also know in the word of God that the Bible teaches us that as God even spoke into existence and created the things on its earth, it was through the Holy Spirit that hovered over the water. As God spoke, the Holy Spirit did the action. As God, our Heavenly Father, spoke, the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters and created the land and separated it from the water and created the trees. Our Holy Spirit is the activation force of the faith.
Yes.
When we believe in faith, we know that it is a lifestyle with God. It is impossible to please him without faith. Because if you don't have faith, you can't believe in his son and how his son, because I'm telling you, this is boggling and have been boggling the scientific minds for some time. They can't believe that people will believe in a man named Jesus who was once a God and lived in a heavenly atmosphere, but yet came as a baby through a Virgin Mary and then was exposed to our earthly atmosphere and was perfect without sin and then died and then rose again. I mean, they don't understand any of that. So it takes faith, because faith will cause you to believe in things that even scientists cannot prove.
Amen.
But on a side note, in my opinion, every time the science try and disprove that there is no God, it actually supports that there is a God. But that's a whole nother study. But my thing on today is to talk about faith. Faith is not just when you need something. You can believe God for the impossible when you're in trouble, when you're faced with a court date, or when you're faced with going to jail, or when you're faced with paying a ticket or paying a bill, but yet you can't trust God to keep you in faith when he's leading and directing you even in the most uncomfortable situations.
Yes.
So what causes us to be bogged down or even sometimes cause us to miss the mark on our faith? Because while we're praying, we're saying all these beautiful things to the Lord. Lord, I trust you. I'm giving it to you. I have faith. You said we have faith of a mustard seed. We can speak to the mountain. The mountain will fall. You told us, you know, you're quoting all these scriptures and telling God you sold out to him. But then as soon as you conclude and you say amen, you're back to worrying. Why is it that we're so concrete in our prayer, but yet when we are out of prayer, all of a sudden we're thinking, well, God, maybe you'll do it. Maybe you'll bring it to pass. So let's examine ourselves on today. Let's talk about our human reason. Yeah. One of the things why we struggle with our faith is because of human reason. So at times the Lord may command us to do something. So let's say God does command us to go somewhere or to talk to somebody or to just do something that appears absolutely unreasonable. So our human reason, that's the problem with us being humans. We love to analyze. We love whatever God tells us to do. The Word of God tells us to be like little children and we shall receive the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Because if you ever having a child, whenever you tell them to do something as a child, usually without question, they just go ahead and do it. They don't want to sit back and analyze. You tell them, go to the door and open the door. Well, why, Mommy? Why do I need to open the door? Wouldn't it make sense to keep the door closed because of the circulation? I mean, they don't do any of that. It is us as adults. We are the reason why we sometimes question God. We don't have childlike faith. And because we don't have childlike faith and we've been through things in our life as adults, and because you can't work on a job and be successful without analyzing, or you can't raise your children sometimes without analyzing, the world calls for you to be an analysis, whether you have that title officially or not. You are an analysis if you have lived in this world and you are entered into adulthood. So then you're saying it is okay in society to analyze, to think things through, but when it comes down to the things of God, you want me to do what? Not question you, God? You want me to do what? Not even think twice about it? And that's what gets up, because as soon as God tells you to do something, you take a minute, you say, God, I heard you, but let's think this thing through, God, because you know what? I don't think you really understand my situation. I don't have money. I don't have a reliable car. I don't have any home. I don't have a place, because I'll tell you something, people of God, when God told us to uproot and move to Florida, I was thinking those things. What?
Yes.
Okay, well, God, I know that you're going to move me to Florida, but, Lord, if you're going to move me to Florida, I want $50,000 instantaneously in my bank account. That way I will be able to be comfortable. I can pay up my rent or pay up a townhome. I can get a new car. We don't have to worry about our car breaking down. I mean, I laid it out for the Lord, and the Lord just laughed. What did I tell you? If you ever want to make God laugh, tell him all about your plan. But God said, after I finish my little thing, because God has patience with me. He listens to me. And then after I finish and I shut up, then he says, what did I tell you to do? And I knew when he told me that, I said, okay, somehow, some way, baby, and I was talking to my husband, we are going to make it. And as I was thinking about the car, the only thing God gives me dreams. I'm a dreamer. I've come to rely more on my dreams than even the spoken word almost. I'm just telling you the truth. When prophecies come to me, not when God talks to me, but I'm talking about prophecies and different prophets and stuff, I take it to the Lord, and I say, God, give me a dream. That's how we work. That's my relationship.
Yes.
That's how he moves. And I know when God gives me a dream, he shows me all of it. Because sometimes, just sometimes, people of God, certain prophets and certain prophetess, they miss the mark. Sometimes they may actually say a little bit more than what God wants them to say. Or sometimes they may not tell you all of what they think. They only want to tell you the good. But I'm the person that I eat the whole roll. Tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And I take it to the Lord in prayer, and I ask God, show me the heart. Show me this thing. Prove it. Confirm it to me, and he'll give me a dream.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that I did. I went to the Lord in prayer because I have a very worn-out van, to put it nicely. But don't you know that the only thing that God gave me a dream of was I needed more coolant. He showed me at a gas station, and there was somebody speaking to me about, you need more coolant, you need more coolant. Whenever it gets down to this certain level, put more coolant in. And I woke up, and I said, what was that? And then when I came to more, I said, wait a minute, that was from the Lord. He gave me a dream about our coolant. Sure enough, when we checked our coolant dispenser and under the hood, it was low. So God was telling me to prepare for this drive to Florida, get more coolant. So I was excited. I said, thank you, Lord. I get excited whenever God gives me a warning. He's giving me dreams, let me know the exact tire that will go flat. I'll woke up in the morning, I'll look at the tire, and I say, my goodness, it's flat. He will give me warnings to prepare my budget, to prepare the move, whatever it is. He even gave me, and this is off the a little bit of the topic, but I just want to share this. This is so funny to me. My husband was planning on surprising me, and the Lord gave me a dream. I was standing in my kitchen. Everything was beautiful and clean. The pots were lined. No dishes in the sink. The rugs had the streak from the vacuum in it and the carpet. And I said, he's gonna clean the house for me. Now, we don't have a dirty home, but I do most of the cleaning because I enjoy it. And also, Apostle does, he clean up after himself. He's a man of integrity and accountability. He don't believe in just a woman cleaning. If he got hands and feet, he's going to also put forth the effort to maintain a clean home, men of God. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
With that being said, I went to work that next day, and on my lunch break, my husband called me. He said, I have a surprise for you. I said, you know what? The Lord showed me that you will have a surprise for me, but I'm not going to say anything because I want to see if this is exactly how the Lord showed me. He said, okay. So I went through the rest of the day. When I came home, people of God, the home was exactly like the dream. And this is not just one time. This is several times. The Lord shows me things. He shows me conversations before I have them. One time he showed me a conversation that if I shared a testimony with an individual, how rage and anger will rise up in that person. And he showed me exactly what they would say. And I said, God, if you would just have just grace upon me, I want to see if this is really going to happen. So, I mean, if you had the dream that I had, you probably wouldn't want to proceed if it happened because it was some very nasty things. But I wanted to see if this was really how God was really dealing with me. And I went to that individual. And I said the testimony, and verbatim, exactly what they said is how the Lord showed me they will respond in my dream. So I come to tell you, people of God, that God shows his leaders. He shows those that are in touch and intact by faith. He shows them the hearts of people. He shows them shows you things and warnings and also instructions and also solutions to your problems in faith. You got to have faith to understand that even though you're going through, there's always a solution because we worship a problem solver. He is the problem solver. Amen. He also is the problem creator. For does not the word of God tell us in Job how he gave Satan permission to attack Job? But he said, don't take his life. So it really, honestly, if this is on a deep end, and I know a lot of us are not there yet, you almost can look at it as if you get an attitude out of the trials and the tribulations that you're facing and you're complaining unto God saying, it's not fair. It's not fair that I got to go through this and I've been suffering too long. You're really getting upset at God because he's that's the one that allowed this thing to happen in your life. He said, not unto death, but he didn't say how long it would take.
Amen.
Amen. Said, but that's on a deep end. That's on a deep end. See, a lot of us are not there yet where we actually can think about us really getting upset at God because of our trials and tribulation. But that's in the mature thinker. So I pray that we can get there on today to realize that we serve a God that is the problem giver and also the solution to every problem that comes in our way. So it is by faith that when we come before the Lord, when we tell him, God, I need you. God, if you sent me here, if you're telling me to do this certain thing, even though it seems unreasonable, you're going to provide a solution. So you got to be open for the solution. Whether if you're a dreamer, pay attention to your dream. The solution can come through your dream. If you are a prophetess and you hear a spoken word often in your ear, be quiet. Quiet your spirit so you can receive the solution. If you're a person that it comes while you're reading the word of God, keep a pen and pad of paper near you so that you'll be able to write down the solution as he shows you things by way of revelation in the word of God.
Teach.
Pay attention to commercials. Pay attention to even conversations. Pay attention to if you have daily devotions coming to your email. Because God will use those things. He's done it before in my life many times. He will use us. I will finish praying, and then a commercial will come on TV after I finish praying, and it's just playing in the background. And the Holy Spirit will quicken my senses to pay attention. And it will be just what I need. And it will get the will in motion for me to pursue whatever solution that God just gave me. I will get a daily devotion to my phone, and I promise you, more than over 100 times I'm going to tell you over the last 2 years, a daily devotion was exactly what I was going through. And it gave me a scripture to meditate on to help me. So in order to have faith, you got to not only have faith that God can bring you out of it, but you got to have faith that he will use also different things to bring a solution as well. You got to get out of your own self and how you want God to work it out. That's the human reason part. You want to reason with yourself as a human. You want to always nitpick it and say, God, well, how can you call me to do this? How can you say that I'm going to do this when I don't have the resources? I don't even have a car to get to them. So with that being said, you got to cast that down and say, God, if you bring me to it, you bring me through it. You already knew before you brought this child to me I didn't have a car. You already knew I didn't have money. In fact, you knew all four of my accounts were negative.
My God.
So apparently the person that gave you the trial or the tribulation, he is well aware of your circumstances.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.